Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
I want to welcome to the stage our apostle,
Dwayne Swilly.
All right. We have been talking about this incredible concept of having a footprint, and I wanted to get, as we were talking, and I know you've been traveling a little bit, and you've been ministering around this same revelation, talking about having a footprint. Some of you guys know, so I'm not going to belabor Dad's introduction. Dad wanted me to let you know that he was an NFL chaplain. He qualified for the Olympics in the triple jump, started Hope with my mom 26 years ago, authored over 10 books, traveled all over the world, had one of the largest youth ministries in America. And so we're so happy to have him with us today.
That was so much better in the first service. All right.
But we have both been ministering this incredible revelation about having a footprint. I'm saying that in jest, but we've seen the incredible footprint that you've had with, you know, in the NFL, in, you know, writing books, in bringing incredible revelation to different people in all over the world, in different nations, and with young people. But you've had a footprint, and it's important. We've been talking about since the beginning of the year that we have a footprint, and it's time. It's time for us to have a footprint.
Well, I just want to say that the real truth of it is I was ministering in Alabama, and I spoke on Friday night, and then I spoke four times on Saturday, and I had nothing. I was out. I was just exhausted, and I said, I have nothing for tomorrow, and that was the big service. And Sonny says, why don't you preach Josh's message from last Sunday? And I called up my son, and I said, could I have the notes, please? So it isn't that we were in unity. I was copying you. You left the footprint, and I followed. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? I listened to all those accolades, and I honestly didn't write it down for him to say it. But you know what really matters? What matters to me, Marco, is my relationship with God. One. There's nothing before him. Yeah. He's the ultimate footprint, and I follow him. Yeah. Number two is that woman that has stuck with me for 47 years. I'm taking care of that. Then after that comes my children. And I was sitting at lunch yesterday, Sandy, with Joan Auten from England, and she travels all over the world. And she says, can I tell you a dream I have? And Josh and Corinne were there. And she said, I pray that one day my son marries a girl like that. And that they have a marriage like your children have and a relationship with my husband and I the way y'all have that. And if you don't know, your pastors leave a footprint around the world. It isn't just here. And the only truth one day that Sonny and I existed on this planet will be the footprint that you carry on. And for that, though I'm dead, I will still speak.
I think part of the footprint that Hope has is really kind of restoring functionality to family. Yep. And that wouldn't be the exception to the rule that they say, oh, wow, the next generation family is still having great relationship with their parents, like that type of functionality that God really wanted us to have, for that to be restored and for Hope to be a pioneer with that in the body of Christ. I believe that's God's original intention, God's original design for us not to have this brokenness in our family and have these broken relationship between parents and kids and kids and parents and in between our families and in our marriage experiencing brokenness. But actually God wants to mend the brokenhearted, mend the families, and bring people together in such a sense of unity and really being able to pull upon each other's strengths and support one another in the visions that God has given us.
And that's why we said for years, we're more than a church, we are a... as Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne would say, say it loud and say it proud, we are...
one family in faith.
So if your family's broken, there's a footprint here.
Yeah.
You can come get restored here and then restore your family.
That's so true. You know, when we start taking a look at all of the dreams that God has given us to live out and to walk out, I find that part of it is mysterious. You know, the Bible talks about God moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes we don't really have the whole picture, but we still have to move.
Absolutely.
We still have to step out in faith. We still have to make the same move. And so that's one of the things I really felt like God was wanting us to share with everybody today is even if you don't have the full picture of what the dream is that God has placed inside of you, it's important to start moving, to start stepping out in faith because that's the way that faith works oftentimes. God doesn't give you all the details, all the specifics up front, and that's okay, you know. We look at the story of Abraham. We look at how when he, you know, it's Genesis 12:1. The Lord says to Abraham, he says, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's house, everything you've known, everything you're comfortable with. Take a step of faith, and I am going to take you to a land. I'm going to take you to a place that I'm going to show you. Well, what's the specifics on that, God? What's the destination? What's the roadmap? God says, I want you to leave. I want you to step out in obedience, step out in faith, and I'm going to show it to you. So Abraham left home with only a partial vision of his purpose. So that took even more trust.
Absolutely.
To step out and not have the full picture. God wants to develop this trusting relationship between him and us like never before. And it doesn't always happen the way we want it. We want to have the complete game plan, the complete business plan, the complete laid out strategy. And sometimes God says move, and that can be pretty uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Well, because we grew up in Atlanta, whenever Dad would take us to the beach, come on, Christian. Y'all remember the time at, Cecilia, remember the time at Hope at Cooper City that Dad and I and Josh all preached together? Okay. This is 2.0 right here. Okay. He would take us to the beach, and Dad would start walking. And I never grew to the 11th grade, so I was always very short and very tiny. And when he would step, I would have to jump to be in step with him because his stride stretched me. If you want to be a leader, you have to follow somebody that stretches you and makes you even maybe jump. Oh, you're walking. When I was little, that was back during the day where preachers really dressed to the nines. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, Bill. I'm talking about the suits and the ties and the matching everything. But the coup de grace was the shoes. The shoes were killer. The shoes were killer, and I couldn't wait till I could wear my dad's shoes. And so I said to him, Dad, can I wear your shoes? He said, as soon as they fit. And I was just great because Dad wore an 8.5. And I was just, I would try to see if my foot was growing every day. And I would say, my come on feet grow, come on feet grow, come on feet grow. And when I was 15, I grew a foot, and I was dad's shoe size for 2 weeks. I wear a 13. I don't know what. 8 and a half was a blur. I didn't even have a Sunday that I could wear those shoes. If your foot's not growing, the people behind you are going to grow past you. So you see, your footprint has always got to be bigger than the footprint of those behind you. It's got to make them stretch. It's got to make them leap. It's got to make them want to grow. Good job, Christian.
I think we have to keep relationships around us that stretch us and cause us to grow. And sometimes in the beauty of those relationships, some of the picture is revealed. So some of the mystery, we begin to see it as we begin to step out in faith and begin to have the right people around us. And, you know, that's what's been the incredible part of this season. The more we've talked about the vision that God has given us, the more people have, God has brought people into our path. Some people that have previously been in our path, God brought back into our path.
That's right.
Some new people God has brought into our path. And it's like, you know, now we're starting to discover what the mystery is that God has for us, you know, but having people in your life to stretch you. But we have to trust in God and trust in the mystery. Look at somebody and say, trust in the mystery.
You have to trust in the mystery.
Part of the faith journey is a mystery. Part of the footprint is a mystery. God, how are you going to use me? How are you going to use this gift? How are you going to use this dream? And what does this dream actually look like? And it's important for us to pray on it and talk about it and dream on it and write it down and make the vision plain. But even with that, sometimes part of my faith journey is still a mystery. You know, and we can look at Abraham. He is this type and shadow of so much of our life and so much of our journey, because he had this partial vision, and we have this partial vision. He's the father of the faith. We're walking in the faith. And so we're discovering that there's so much more to be discovered. There's details we don't know. There's, you know, components that God is going to show us as we step out. But it's important for us to take the first step. I think, you know, one thing I would encourage you about in your journey is just because you don't know everything, don't be afraid to take the first step. Just because you don't have all the details, don't be afraid to take the first step. One statement that your uncle, my great uncle, would say is, get the plane in the air.
Learn to fly it later.
Learn to fly it later. And there is, you know, there is a sense, absolutely, of, you know, before you build a house, count the cost. Absolutely. But there comes a point in the time in anything, in life, in spirituality, in business, where you have to make a leap of faith. I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. There's some risks involved, but I'm going to have to take a leap of faith. And what better area to take a leap of faith in than something that God has pointed you in or said to you? God has said, go in this direction. Well, I'm a little uncertain. There's some things. There's some risks. There's some uncertainty there, but I'm going to make a leap of faith. Why? Because I know part of this journey is a mystery. So what could I encourage everybody? What could we encourage everybody in today? Take the first step. Just say it one time. Take the first
step. Take the first step. This story of Abraham, buddy, is so huge. He displaced 300 families. He had 300 families working for him. And the first part was 700 miles to the border of present-day Iraq. Another 700 miles to Syria. This is all walking. And then 800 miles to Egypt. Then back to Canaan. The thing I love, Pastor Josh, that you said to me, I guess it was about 3 months ago now, you said to me, Dad, it's not enough that we hold marriage seminars. I want you to take, and Mom, to take everything you know about marriage and pour it into James and Francesca. and in other people here so that they know how to counsel marriages and speak into marriages. And so for about 12 weeks, I would meet with James and Francesca an hour before, and then we would meet, and some of y'all were in that class where we were training. We were leaving the footprints that when we're gone, there'll still be somebody carrying on the marriage ministry. And it's time, prophetically, that we must have a paradigm. What are we doing every day that leaves a footprint? What are we doing? What am I doing today that matters that leaves that? I got those of you that know that go back to Hope, like at the Palmetto. Y'all remember Sister Enid Fuller. She was just this phenomenal saint of God who was a prayer warrior, was at every service, was there serving. If you ever knew her, she was just so irrepressible. And her granddaughter, who brought her to Hope, she would say, she called and she said, Enid has passed away. And I hadn't seen her for 12 years because I didn't know she had been in a facility. She had Alzheimer's, and she had passed away. And so I had a big speaking engagement to go to. But see, I have to leave a footprint. And I said, Sonny, move that engagement. I don't care what they've done. I have to honor Enid. Because Enid helped me get where I am today. Enid prayed for me. Enid believed in me. And so that's a footprint. You do things that way. Pastor Josh did the funeral of the six-year-old young lady. He said, Dad, you left a footprint. You said, pray and find that person in the Bible. And then you preach it from the word. And here was the loss of a six-year-old young lady was so great. And everyone was grieving. And there is going to be grief. But all of a sudden, the word of God came. Because, see, in the hardest time, there needs to be a footprint most. There needs to be somebody saying, no, it's okay. It's okay. Here's a footprint. And that's what Abraham did. That's what you're teaching. And it sometimes it just takes the first step. And it isn't about stress.
Yeah. Faith is different than stress.
Say that again. Faith
is different than stress.
Faith is different than
sometimes
stress.
Sometimes we can get stressed out by life, by our career, sometimes even ministry, you know, things that we're doing. And 9 years ago, we know that we had so many things going on at the church, and it was one of those Christmas seasons. You were preaching back-to-back-to-back sermons, and we were doing events, we were doing productions, we were doing all these things, and you had the stroke, and you had Bell's palsy all over one Christmas holiday season, and God gave us the revelation that it's not about stressing, it's about stretching. See, God wants to stretch you.
Wait, say it again?
It's not about stressing, it's about stretching. God wants to stretch you, but if we're really trusting in God and relying on God, it's not going to be a stress. It's going to be a stretch. There's difference when we're doing athletics, right?
Yes.
And you stretch your muscle, right? That's different than when you stress or strain a muscle.
That's right.
And God doesn't want you straining or being under stress, but he wants you to stretch. And this comes from the understanding that it's not your job to do God's part. It's your job to do your part.
Did y'all get that? Did you get that? It's not, again?
So often we're trying to, we think we're supposed to do God's part.
That's why
you're not supposed to do God's part. You're supposed to do your part. Our part is like Abraham's part. We're obedient. We take a leap of faith. We leave our comfort zone and pursue what God has spoken to us. God's part are the miracles, the open doors, helping us get the victories.
Absolutely.
God does not expect you to do miracles.
Nope.
He's the miracle worker. God expects you to be obedient. Take faith steps. Take faith steps. And our journey is really comprised of a bunch of faith steps. Some steps are big, bold faith steps, and others are little baby steps. But we're continuing to progress forward into the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So we're pursuing this life of obedience towards God. And what happens is when our obedience meets God in this purpose, we see the miraculous.
It really is very simple, buddy. When Danya, who did the translation of the Bible, says righteousness is simply doing the next right thing.
Yeah, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it, or we
exactly
we get it in our mind that it's so difficult. The Bible says, though, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. It just means make God's kingdom your priority. So seek first. That's number one priority. Is I'm seeking God and building His kingdom, and righteousness, doing things His way, the right way, according to Him. And then all these things,
all of them,
vision components, open doors, relationships, blessings, favor, all these things are going to be added to you. So I'm not doing the miracles, I'm doing the obedience.
God is sovereign. And listen to me, all your straining and all your working and all your trying to break doors down, you're not supposed to do that. Just respond to His open doors. Whenever He opens a door, you step in. Word of God, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut.
And that's true. You know, Scripture says you can't add a day to your life. And you can't shave a day, make it closer to your purpose by stressing, by worrying. But what we do is we have trust, we have faith. And God begins to meet us in that faith moment and cause miraculous things to happen. Now, with this mystery, as we're progressing towards it, you like to say the closer you get, the clearer it becomes. So it's a mystery. I don't have a lot of specifics. I understand vaguely I'm supposed to move in this direction, but the more faith steps I take in this direction, it gets clearer. I gain clarity the more that I move in the direction of my vision. When we first started talking about some of the vision components that we're rolling out in the community this year, and last year we started talking about it, what happened is every time we talked about it, it got clearer. Every time we talked about it, God would send somebody else, and we would join forces, and we would move forward. Why? The closer that you get, the clearer that it becomes. So we can't let uncertainty stop us. I know God said this, but I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about this. There's some risks. There's some this, that, and the other. No, I can't let uncertainty stop me from taking the next step, because the closer that I get, the clearer it becomes. And my journey is made up of all these series of steps. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep moving. Even if I fall down, the Bible says a righteous person is not the person that never fell down. He's a person that knows how to get back up. Yeah, maybe he made some mistakes in the pursuit of the purpose, but he's going to keep getting back up again, brushing himself off, and giving it his best. So we're taking steps.
The saint is just the sinner who fell down and got up. You know, the reason I got that script, that story, the closer it gets, I would say to somebody sitting back in the back where Elder Eddie is, I would say, tell me about this ring. I'll give it to you if you could tell me what it's about. And all he could say is, it's shiny. But if he got halfway down there to where the camera was, he would say, wow, it has a big stone in it, and it has some things on the side. If he was to get right here, he would say it's gold and it's an amethyst stone. But I still can't make out what's around it. But when he gets face to face, everything gets clear. Just keep walking. Take the next step. Make a footprint and show somebody else. The closer you get, the clearer it looks.
I think in the pursuit, this is one scripture that I love, because we're talking about the posture that we take in the pursuit of our purpose. And it's Psalm 1, 1 and 2.
Okay, wait a minute. He learned this when he was three. Son, he said, we're going to learn the scriptures. You want to preach like Dad? He said, yeah, let's roll. He knew this. It's the first scripture he memorized right here. So when he says it, it's the word made flesh. He's lived this scripture. Read it. It is the scripture. Come on.
Put a lot of pressure on me to see if I quote this right.
Let's take the next step.
Psalm 1. Psalm 1, it basically says, it's talking about position. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Talking about position. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So it's important that we understand God is going to have us to take different postures as we pursue the purpose that God has given us, as we're living the dream that he's placed inside of us. Sometimes we're going to be standing, other times we're going to be walking, other times we're going to be sitting, but making sure that we're sitting in the right place, making sure that we're walking, we're making steps, we're making movement, progressing in the right direction. Sometimes it's just about standing in faith.
Can I do one bonus illustration? Just one bonus illustration.
Right, one bonus illustration.
Okay. Come here, Samal. Let me explain to you how much stronger Samal is than me. Just look at him. This man works out every day. He is massive.
Samal told me he's got like five gym memberships. He's got all. He said, Pastor, let's go work out. And I said, which place do you work out? He said, all of them.
Oh, okay. Well said. But if we were playing basketball, and the goal was here, it doesn't matter how big he is. If I have position on him, he can't get around. I don't even have to jump. Are you hearing me? If you're in the right position, you don't even have to jump. Give no place to the enemy. So if I'm in the right position, the ball just comes to me and his strength is totally negated. How many of you would like to totally negate the strength of the enemy in your life? What Pastor Josh is saying, just get in position.
That's so good. And so we're focused on how can I position myself in this season so that I can be in the best place to make a footprint. I understand that God is saying it's time, it's my time, it's my season. God has given me a dream. I know maybe it's been on the shelf, maybe it's still in the working phase. But I realize I want to make this footprint. I need to get in position. I need to stay in position. However you move, position yourself for purpose. Not all seasons are the same. Not all positions are going to be the same. Some positions you're going to be aggressively moving forward. Maybe you're sprinting. Maybe other times you're jogging. Maybe sometimes you're walking. Maybe sometimes it's just he wants you just to stand still. That's what happened with Moses. He said, stand still and see the glory of God. So sometimes we're not even running or walking. We're just standing. And so realizing that whatever it is, make your position intentional.
Well, if you've been at Hope for any season of time, everybody go like this. Your DNA is pioneer. We're not happy in anywhere but leading. We're not happy. We're not happy until we're leading. We've always been a pioneer. We will continue to always be a pioneer. We will blaze the trail that other people can follow. That we can say, when we started Hope, buddy, if you go back and research that time, almost every culture went to church with their own culture. Right, Eddie? You grew up in this city. Is that true or not? Everybody went to church with their own, and we rented every bus stop bench we could rent, and we put on it a church for every nation, a church for every nation. And I used to joke the people at Hope. I said, if it wasn't for this church, you would never hang out with the people on your row. We were pioneers. Everybody say, we are pioneers. And you're not going to be happy It doesn't stress you. It stretches you.
And I think that requires leadership. To pioneer, it takes, you know, leadership. Your footprint requires leadership. Everybody has to be willing to be the leading role in the story God has given them. I think a lot of times we're taking a back seat in the story that God has, you know, God has given you. So if you're in the place that God has given you and God is saying, this is your story, this is your area, this is your lane, this is your arena, and you say, oh, I don't want to be the point guard. No, you got to be the point guard. You got to be, you know, sometimes we sit back on the bench. We don't even want to be on the starting lineup in the story that God has given us. So it requires leadership to leave a footprint. You know, you have to be a leader in the arena and in the place, in the space that God gives you.
Pastor Josh, in his notes that he sent me, was talking about potential. And I want to make this quote that the Lord gave me. Potential is the tease that talent gives you. How many people have you known that had all the talent in the world? And they never did jack. They never did. They never did. They had potential. Potential is a tease. Let me tell you that faith and action brings the manifestation of your promise. You've got to take the step. You've got to leave a footprint. You've got to know. And remember, the harder you put your foot down, because it all started with Joshua 1:3 when you started the series. Every place. Come on, Eddie. Every place that you put the sole of your foot, that shall you prosper, just as it was with Moses. So you're watching Joshua and Moses here, playing the part of Moses, me. Playing the part of Joshua, Joshua.
I think there is this concept of God wanting to do things on the earth, but he needs a lead person. He needs, like when you have dominoes, you have a lead domino, and that's the one that knocks all the other dominoes down. There is a place that God has for you. There's a dream that God has given you that you're the lead domino. You're the one that there's a ripple effect. That when you move in obedience, yeah, there's some risk involved. Yeah, there's some spiritual warfare involved. Yeah, there's some resistance. But when you begin to move, there's going to be a ripple effect of other people moving, other people being blessed, other people being touched, other things change, things changing, shifting in the community. And God is looking, God is waiting for people to step up and say, I'll be that lead domino. I'll step up and take a leadership role. And actually, the world is waiting for what you have inside of you. Scripture tells us this. It's not me that made that up. It says the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. So that means, of course, we're talking about sons and daughters here, but the whole world is waiting for you to be revealed. And when I say you to be revealed, you to take faith steps and walk in your purpose. When you take faith steps and walk in your purpose, what happens is the world is like, wow, there is something that has been answered. There is something that has been solved. There is a problem, there is a pain that has been healed when you step up and you be who God has called you to be and you fulfill the purpose that God has given you. And we think about that for a second. The earth groans. When do you groan? You groan when you're in pain, when something is out of position, when you dislocated something, when you've strained something and it's groaning. The world is groaning for the church to stand up.
That's right.
For us to stand up as individual Christians and for us to stand up as the bride of Christ and to make change, positive change in the world. God is already giving you the dream, and it comes back full circle to God saying, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to have a footprint. So I want us to bow our heads, and I want, Apostle, if you'd lead us in a word of prayer. I think it's so very important that it goes beyond just a great message, something that makes us feel good. But I want it to be something that challenges us to action. What type of action? Faith action. The action that is based and rooted in obedience and trust in God, that even in the midst of uncertainty, I'm going to take the first step. I'm going to take the first step, or I'm going to take the next step, and I'm going to see God make a footprint through my life.
Reach out and touch somebody, because we don't make this by ourselves. We don't do this by ourselves. Reach out and agree with somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree right now, and we are agreeing with everybody that's watching online. We're agreeing with all of our family that's back at the house. We're agreeing that we will take the first step. We are agreeing that we're not going to look at the natural. We're going to take the first step of faith, make a footprint that others can follow, that they won't have to go through the landmines. They won't have to go off the side of the cliffs. They won't have to mess up. They will see there is a footprint that's gone before them, that if they'll put their foot in that footprint, they'll receive their promise. I thank you for it, Lord. We're in a room full of leaders. We're in a room full of people who know you. And I pray in Jesus' name, we step out. Make that footprint, Pastor Minerva. Make it so others could follow. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.